Welcome to Golden Gems with Dave Shaw and Bill Hansen. We review each week the career and personal life of one of the great unforgettable artists of the golden days of radio. So please join with us on a trip down memory lane as we take a look at today's artist. Then go to our website, www.goldengems.net, where we will also look at more of their career and play some of their most unforgettable great hits, which we are unable to share on the podcast. We invite you to join us there also. But for now, sit back and relax as we talk about the life of today's unforgettable artist of the golden days of radio.
Welcome to Golden Gems. This is Dave Shaw and Bill Hansen, featuring today Julius LaRosa, one of the great artists of the golden days of radio. Julius LaRosa was born on January 2, 1930, and passed away on May 12, 2016, was an American traditional popular music singer who worked in both radio and television beginning in the 1950s. In the early years, LaRosa was born of Italian immigrant parents in Brooklyn. He attended PS 123K in Bushwick. At age 17, he joined the United States Navy after finishing high school, becoming a radio man. He sang in a Navy choir, at the officers' club, and at bars to pay for his drinks. LaRosa's Navy peers promoted him to Arthur Godfrey, one of America's leading radio and television personalities and a Naval Reserve officer himself. George Andrews from Omaha, Nebraska, was a mechanic on Godfrey's airplane, and he struck up a conversation with Godfrey and told him that he should hear his friend sing. They arranged a time for LaRosa to audition in Pensacola, Florida, where LaRosa was stationed. Godfrey was impressed and offered him a job. He had LaRosa flown to New York to appear on his television show, with Godfrey ending the spot by saying, "When Julie gets out of the Navy, he'll come back to see us." LaRosa was discharged from the Navy on a Friday in November 1951, and he went to Godfrey on the following Monday and appeared on his variety show a week later. He was a regular on both the morning Arthur Godfrey time and the Wednesday night variety show, Arthur Godfrey and His Friends.
LaRosa was on Godfrey's show from November 19, 1951 to October 19, 1953. Godfrey's band leader, Archie Blyer, formed Cadence Records in 1952, and LaRosa was the first performer with whom they signed a contract. Cadence's first single was also LaRosa's first recording of Anywhere I Wander. It reached the top 30 on the charts, and his next recording was My Lady Loves to Dance, a moderate success. Between his popular records and his appearances on Godfrey's show, LaRosa's popularity grew exponentially. At one point, his fan mail eclipsed Godfrey's. A year later, after LaRosa was hired, he received 7,000 fan letters a week. Arthur Godfrey's management style was a combination of paternal affection and dictatorial direction. Years of speaking his mind on and off the air had conditioned him to do exactly as he pleased. He regarded his employees as family. The cast members were known as the Little Godfreys, and he took an interest in them personally. But he was the boss, and his word was law. Godfrey had discouraged LaRosa and all other cast members from hiring a manager or booking agent. Godfrey preferred to handle these matters internally, with his staff coordinating and negotiating on the artist's behalf. One of Godfrey's mandates was for all cast members to attend dance classes to make them appear more graceful on camera. LaRosa did not comply, claiming a family emergency. Shortly thereafter, LaRosa hired a personal agent and a manager, Tammy Rockwell.
Godfrey did not react well to receiving a formal notification that LaRosa had hired Rockwell. After consulting with CBS President Frank Stanton, Godfrey went before the TV cameras for Arthur Godfrey Time on the morning of October 19, 1953. After the televised portion of the program went off the air, the broadcast continued on the radio network. La Rosa sang Manhattan, and Godfrey fired him on the air, announcing that La Rosa had become his own star, and that was Julie Swansong with us. La Rosa did not return to the microphone. La Rosa tearfully met with Godfrey after the broadcast and thanked him for giving him his break. La Rosa was then met at Godfrey's offices by his lawyer, his manager Tommy Rockwell, and some reporters. Rockwell was highly critical of Godfrey's behavior, angrily citing La Rosa's public humiliation. Godfrey subsequently explained that La Rosa had been fired because he lacked humility. This comment backfired badly on Godfrey. Stanton regretted the on-air dismissal, later admitting maybe it was a mistake. Comedians began working the phrase, no humility, into their routines. Singer Ruth Wallace, known for her raunchy double entendre novelty songs, recorded Dear Mr. Godfrey, a biting satire on the matter, which made it to number 25 on the Billboard charts in November of 1953.
Almost immediately after firing La Rosa, Godfrey also fired bandleader Archie Blyer, owner of La Rosa's label Cadence Records, for producing spoken word records for Cadence featuring Chicago-based talk host Don McNeil. Godfrey considered this an act of treason. Don McNeil's Breakfast Club aired on ABC Radio opposite Godfrey's morning show, although McNeil's success was nowhere on a par of that of Godfrey. The firing did not hurt La Rosa's career in the short run. Ed Sullivan immediately signed La Rosa for appearances on his CBS Toast of the Town TV variety show, which sparked a feud between Sullivan and Godfrey. La Rosa's first appearance on Toast of the Town followed the firing, and it got a 49.7 Trendex rating. La Rosa would appear 12 more times on Sullivan's show that year. Shortly after he left Godfrey, La Rosa's third recordings, El Compare, hit number one on the Cashbox chart and number two on the Billboard chart, with La Rosa getting an award as the best new male vocalist of 1953. El Compare was followed by another major hit, Domani. For 13 weeks during the summer of 1955, La Rosa had a three-time-a-week television show on CBS, The Judas La Rosa Show, featuring Russ Case and his orchestra. The Judas La Rosa Show aired in an hour-long format in the summer of 1956 and 57 at 8 p.m. on Saturdays on NBC, an occasional replacement for the Perry Como show. Como previously had La Rosa on occasion fill in for him during the 1954 and 55 season of his CBS series. In 1981, Peter Kelly, who handled Godfrey's commercial bookings, suggested the host reunite with cast members from the morning show and record a reunion album. Though Godfrey initially balked, recalling his disputes with La Rosa and other cast members, he agreed to a meeting and was amenable to having La Rosa participate. La Rosa, feeling sufficient time had passed, was also amenable. At the meeting held at Godfrey's Manhattan office, Godfrey brought up the firing and asked La Rosa why he didn't tell the truth, as Godfrey saw it. Then La Rosa had asked to be released from his contract, and Godfrey had obliged. When La Rosa started to respond by reminding him of the dance class dispute, Godfrey exploded in anger. La Rosa left, and any talk of a reunion show ended. La Rosa, tired of revisiting the Godfrey affair, in part because it had been rehashed so many times, but he was also known to acknowledge Godfrey as the one individual who made his career. Nevertheless, La Rosa always added, "He wasn't a very nice man to me."
La Rosa appeared in a range of television shows, including The Honeymooners in 1953, What's My Line, The Pat Boone Chevy Showroom, The Pauli Bergen Show, two episodes including the 1957 premiere, The Merv Griffin Show, and Laverne and Shirley in 1980. The Pauli Bergen Show, two episodes including the 1957 premiere, The Merv Griffin Show, and Laverne and Shirley in 1980. He starred in the 1958 film Let's Rock. In 1977, he hosted an unsold game show pilot for NBC, Newt's Game. In 1970, he became a disc jockey at Metro Media's WNEW-AM 1130 in New York City. He hosted the 1 to 4 p.m. time slot at least through 1976. Following William B. Williams' show, which would eventually again become the Make-Believe Ballroom. During his first tenure at WNEW, the station was more of an adult contemporary format rather than the traditional standards La Rosa was known for. He also sang some songs that were hits on the station. Those included Fire and Rain from the Words album, Metro Media Label in 1971, What I'll Do, and Save Me a Song, RCA Victor Label. He also recorded We Need a Little Christmas, 1966, played during the holiday season on the Big W. La Rosa would return to WNEW in the 1980s, doing various air shifts after the station returned to standards and big bands. In the 1980s, La Rosa received a non-contract recurring role in the NBC soap opera Another World, playing the character Rinaldo, for which he was nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award as Best Supporting Actor. In 1998 and 1999, La Rosa was a disc jockey on 1430 WNSW based in Newark, New Jersey, hosting Make Believe Ballroom Time. La Rosa, profiled by jazz critic and composer Gene Lees, continued to work clubs and release records until the early 2000s. New York Times film critic Stephen Holden said, "His singing is very direct and unpretentious. He can wrap his voice tenaciously around a melody line and bring out the best in it."
La Rosa was a frequent contributor to comedian Jerry Lewis' annual Labor Day telethon program for the Muscular Dystrophy Association, often hosting the New York venue of the shows. A little bit now about his personal life. In 1953, La Rosa was romantically linked with then-married Dorothy McGuire of the McGuire sisters. In 1955, while serving as the summer replacement on Perry Como's TV show, he met Como's secretary, Rosemary Meyer, and married her. In 2008, La Rosa said, "Music is a very egotistical thing. It makes me feel good. And fortunately, I have the capacity to make people feel good who hear me feeling good." He and his wife lived for 40 years in Irvington, New York, until November 2015, when they moved to Krivitz, Wisconsin, where he died of natural causes on May 12, 2016. Well, thanks for being with us today as we review the life and career of Julius La Rosa. We hope you will. If you haven't already, go to our webcast, goldengems.net, and learn a little bit more about his career and some of his fantastic music.
Thanks for being with us today. We hope you're having as much enjoyment as we are, reliving some of the unforgettable memories from the golden days of radio. To learn more about the career of today's artist and listen to several of their greatest hits, we invite you to go to our website, www.goldengems.net. May we also encourage you to tell your friends about the show. We would love to have them join us in these little trips down memory lane. And as always, we invite your feedback or comments
on goldengemsradio@gmail.com. So until next episode, this is Dave and Bill heading back into the archives to dust off some more unforgettable memories to share with you on Golden Gems.